It's Imperium Americana, and my reply to Nurki's podcast on nationalistic protectionism and globalism. This is actually my second attempt, because the first attempt ran like 25 minutes long. Frankly, I didn't know I could ramble that long. Okay, yeah, I did know I could ramble that long, but anyway, I was a believer. Because I have touched on these topics a little bit faster. Yes, I believe Americans are greedy, but I believe that greed is an innate human condition. I think our system was designed to attempt to harness and control that selfishness of man. We can make the point about whether or not the checks and balances and blow-off valves and whatever have failed or been usurped or corrupted. I think there's a legitimate discussion there. But I think that's the reason why our system has been so arguably it's been incredibly effective. The next point is, I guess Michael Moore, in an American sense, is definitely not right-wing. He's quite left-wing in an American sense. I would guess in a more global view, he would be considered more right-wing, but that's probably because the global view is more left-wing, if that makes any sense. The ideas of outsourcing and production methods being moved offshore, I think it's not advisable for several very serious factors. One is that America we see ourselves as a very self-reliant group, and I think this sociological mindset is pretty much due in part to the history of our forefathers and how they had to come here and how they had to work. I mean, during some of the Great West expansion and stuff, there's areas where if you need something done, there wasn't a whole lot of people to rely on but yourself. And this was taught to their children, their children's children. I think it just became kind of a national mindset of do-it-yourself. Which I've heard before. If you want something done, set a wrestler world, I imagine it would be. But, if you want something done right, you got to do it yourself. That's just kind of an American ethic, I would probably imagine that New Zealand and Australia and such would have a similar mindset, because we have a similar history of immigration and expansionism and stuff like that. But, there's a grand truth to why, I guess my third point, there's a grand truth to why this outsourcing and offshoring of production methods and services is not advisable. I mean, look at China's massive buy of American debt. Now, granted, if Americans hadn't run up the damn debt, there wouldn't be anything to buy. But the fact is, China bought that debt on American dollars. They've just refocused their own currency on a basket of what I think it's 12, 14, maybe we're on 12, 14 different currencies. But up to that point, it was artificially pegged low on the dollar. So, had there not been that massive imbalance of trade surplus, there wouldn't have been the liquidity necessary to make the purchase of American debt. And I think most Americans don't mind some outsourcing, but a general move by corporate America to offshore its key productions, to keep the bottom line low, so the profit margins are high, shareholders are happy, upper management's happy, et cetera, is, a bit alarmist, but to be expected. On the problem with illegal immigration, I think most Americans have a problem with it being illegal, not the immigration. It's to be expected. This is America. We're all damn immigrants. No one, unless you're Native American, even then, Native Americans still had to walk across the Bering Land Bridge to get here. Everyone had to get here. So it's to be expected that people still want to come here. It's an honor, I think, that other people still actively risk life and limb to get here. I mean, every time I see like a Haitian or a Cuban, boat person, my heart breaks for them. We can get into the argument who they are and what they are in Cuban society. I don't give a crap. The person still got on a raft and still had to float through shark-infested water to get here. And that's a hell of a lot more than I did, which is simply being born out of a woman. The same thing with South Americans, and Latinos. I've just watched a documentary two months ago or something. It followed these three or four teenagers from like Guatemala all the way to the United States and what they had to endure. And it was incredible. God bless them, man. Hell, I think the problem with Americans, we don't have enough people with that kind of stick-to-itiveness and ambition. I think we need more of it. I also think that the levels are set, the quotas for immigration from South American countries are set artificially too low. I mean, we have, like, what, over a million or something like that? A million, 1.8 million immigrants coming into this country every year, and our quota level is set, like, what, 100 to 200,000? I mean, give me a break. Obviously, that level's way too damn low. Up it. You know, I don't have a problem with building a giant wall, you know, in the south of America. I mean, the south of the United States. But I also think we have some giant doors, too. You know, build the wall so people aren't walking across a desert dying. But at the same time, make a big door so these people can come in and enjoy the life we have. They're actually wanting to come here and be citizens. Let them come here and be citizens. That way they're on the tax rolls. You know where they're at. You can help them integrate into society. You can help their children be educated. These people come in, bear children. Their children are educated here. American citizens with the full rights and privileges, they're not going to go back to Mexico. I've been to Mexico many times. There's no way in hell they're going to go back to Mexico. This is not going to happen. The worst parts of northern Atlanta are light years beyond the best parts of Cancun. And Eric, you said that Americans feel we have a sole right to demand production of our own commodities. Yeah. What's wrong with that? I'll say that again. Americans shouldn't demand rights for the production of their own commodities? I mean, that doesn't make sense. It's my money. It's our money. We choose to spend it how we want to. If most Americans want to spend it on, you know, PRC front companies, then so be it. If most Americans want Made in America, so be it. I think the main problems that we've had is that Made in America production qualities have been inferior. And people just wouldn't do it. Why pay more for a product that's not better? And that's something that America's got to deal with. You know, I understand that a single nation production consumption cycle is not possible every time, but I know I'm going to seek it out. I will not shop at, I won't shop at Walmart. I won't shop at Home Depot. I won't buy Nike. I'm one of the few, you know, right-wingers in America that actually seek this. I make it a point in my life that if I find out that a company is, you know, using unethical methods to produce something, I cease doing business with them. I put my money where my mouth is. And I think more Americans would be willing to do that if the same company's not producing the crap, or if the same company's own the media system. So, anyway, that's my little rant on that one. You know, outsourcing and immigration are not black and white issues. There's some very, very complex issues going on behind the scenes. And I don't think it's fair to just sit there and paint these broad brushstrokes of why Americans like it, why they don't, you know, why we like immigration, why we don't like immigration. I understand there's a chunk of America that doesn't like immigration simply because the people coming in aren't white, whether they know it or not. You know, those people are idiots, but, you know, that's, you have to take that into consideration. But a majority of Americans probably, I say probably because I don't know a majority of Americans, so I'm kind of speaking out of my rear here, but it's been a long while since I found somebody that said, you know, I don't want Mexicans here because I don't like Mexicans. Most of them say, I don't like Mexicans here because they had to break the law to get here. You know, immigration, I think, is hard. Integration for immigrants is probably easier in our society than it ever has been before. And that kind of gives me hope because, you know, my family is from Europe and they came here right after World War II and faced some discrimination because they were German. And, you know, they didn't know how to speak English. So they had to learn that. And they did live in a German enclave and continue to do so. But that enclave, I've noticed, is becoming more and more Americanized. It's, you know, when I was a little kid, you used to be able to go to the bank and speak German to the tellers. And just like you would in some areas, you know, some barrios and some Latino areas of the United States now. That eventually fades because the children learn English, they conduct English with non-Latinos, and it just becomes, Latinos, it loses its hold on them, and eventually they integrate. And, you know, when Italians and Irish and other ethnic minorities, and I say minorities, obviously they're all, you know, they're white, but at the time, most of America was white, and these people were looked at as minorities. You know, it's the same arguments. They take our jobs, they don't speak our language, yada, 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 and you know, now we don't look at it that way. Nobody says, oh, those damn Italians are taking our jobs, or those damn Irish won't, you know, it's done. It's gone. That concept's foreign in American minds, and it will be the same for other foreign workers. And as far as America's PR, you know, I'm sure we haven't done the best of a job in the past couple years, and I'm not happy about that either. But I had a friend, Nezru, his final anecdote here, from Ethiopia. And I asked him one day, what was the biggest misconception you've ever, you know, the biggest misconception about America? The thing you got most wrong that you thought you knew about America? And he said, when he got here, he actually thought that things, it's the easy life in America. That when you get here, it's just, you're made. And he's like, I got here, and I was like, holy crap, you have to work so hard. He's like, I have to work harder here than I worked in Ethiopia. Which, I still understand that, but, you know, I just had to trust him on that one. And, yeah, I think it goes back to Mr. Whoopi, where, you know, you said that we're all working really hard, and we don't have a lot of time for these big, broad questions, and I think that's true. I think most Americans are just working really hard. They've got to get their kids to college because they want their kids to have a better life. You know, they want a better house. They would like a nicer car. You know, all these things. And while that's all good and all, you know, I think it's probably better. It would be better if more Americans were able to just kind of step back and think of things beyond themselves. And I saw that with Hurricane Katrina. I saw some really, really cool moments here in the Southeast of people just giving of themselves. So I haven't completely lost my faith in humanity, and I hope no one else does either. But anyway, this is Imperium Americana replying to Nurki's podcast of national protectionism, economic national protectionism, and globalism. And hopefully my rant is less than 25 minutes from the last time. Thanks.